What does it take to make workshops work? And how can we facilitate collaboration that sticks and leads to results? My name is Miriam Hertmans, and with the Workshops Work podcast, I'm on the mission to find the magic ingredients that make workshops work. Today with me on the show is Alice Inoue, and she speaks about her superpower assessment, which is based on five ancient elements: the water, the wood, the fire, the earth, and the metal, and how we can understand group dynamics better through this system and through the storytelling that is nurtured around it. And I must admit that I was intrigued by the power of the metaphors and the storytelling. So Alice and I really enjoyed playing around with our elements and then seeing how we can use it as a facilitator to A, understand our groups better, understand ourselves better, and how to deal with conflict in a more grounded way. So stay tuned. And by the way, if you don't have pen and paper at hand to take your own notes, scroll down to the show notes to download my free one-page summary. And if you want to deepen your facilitation skills, then stay in the show notes to find the NDB Academy link, because we offer at the Never Done Before community amazing facilitation courses that are all live, online, in real time, and cohort-based. And now, enjoy the show. Hello, Alice. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, thank you.
I was intrigued during our exploration call to hear from you how you use the elements in your coaching and as a kind of personality
classroom. Yes.
And yeah, we'll dive deeper into that. And I always start with the same question. When did you start calling yourself a facilitator? And actually, do you?
You know, it's a great question because I never understood it until I understood it. And so it's so interesting that I'd heard the word facilitator, I'd heard the word presenter, trainer. There's so many different ways, and I never really understood the difference until I met I'm going to call him a young man, but he's quite an older gentleman. And he says, what you do is not facilitating. You're just talking at people. You know, you facilitating is to facilitate a group, you know? So I had to practice not speaking so much. I had to really hold myself back and allow myself to go with the flow of the group dynamics. And the less I speak, the better of a facilitator I feel I am. So it wasn't until maybe a handful of years ago where I really understood it and was able to implement that style.
Wow.
So I would say that's where my awareness came.
And thank you for sharing that. I think it's so powerful on many levels. One, that you do have this person who is kind enough to help you see what you didn't see.
Yes. I thought I was a facilitator by just getting up and talking to the group and sharing all my knowledge and asking a question here or there. So he taught me to rearrange my classroom into like a semicircle so that we could feel more connected instead of classroom style. So he really was a great mentor in that sense. So I realized that I was falsely calling myself a facilitator prior. I didn't know what that was. So I didn't actually use that term until I started to learn. And it's a constant learning. I don't think I'm ever there.
It is. And I think especially if you have to retrain yourself to speak less, listen more, maybe ask different questions then as well. I think as a trainer, as a person who teaches or who comes to a space because they're teaching, very often we ask questions to test. Do you know the answer or not? Whereas a facilitator asks a question to prompt.
Yes. And I am uncomfortable with silence. I speak quickly. I move quickly. So if there's like a moment of silence, the hardest part was training myself to just pause, because at a certain point that the conversation starts, and I was losing so much valuable time with people by not taking that intentional pause.
Yeah. Love it. Thank you for sharing.
Great question.
And I remember from our exploration call that you actually have a background in astrology and feng shui.
Yes.
And I'm very curious how this has informed your facilitation.
Yes. Let me start with the base. A lot of people think that astrology is something that you read in the newspapers and it's this sort of fortune telling thing. Usually, if you don't understand the discipline, that's what we go to because that's what we're used to. What astrology does is it takes the time, location, and day of a person's birth and looks at a map of the sky. And that map is individual, like a thumbprint to the billions of people on Earth. And from that, it's an ancient discipline, so we can discern a lot of things about the individual. It is not a fortune telling. It does not dictate who you are, but it gives us a guide as to who you are. And we can also look at cycles, meaning like, when did you move? When did you change jobs? When did you go through life changes? So from doing tens of thousands of sessions over the past 25 years, what I've learned is that every single person is unique and every single person has a different way in which they shine or that you can approach them. So it's all about a personality, I'm going to say, but more importantly, just the intrinsic nature of a person. Mm-hmm. So from that, I garnered that not everyone is a cookie cutter. We know that, but I really learned that. Then feng shui is the discipline of setting up the environment for greater flow. And so I can speak to that in that we all have been in a room and felt, this is just feels so me. I feel so comfortable. I'm so productive here. And then we've been in other rooms. It could be beautiful, new, designer oriented, but you just can't seem to get settled. Mm-hmm. So feng shui helped me to understand the energetics of a room. And I also am able to bring that into my facilitation. For example, oftentimes when I walk into a room to do something that I've been hired to do, they set up the chairs in straight lines so that the facilitator stands in front and then there's just all these straight lines of rows of chairs. Yeah. So in feng shui, we want to create a hug. We want to create comfort. We feel most comfortable when there's curves in the room. Think of the mother's hug. There's discipline and structure, which is linear and necessary, but there's also the emotional aspect of things relates to roundness. So the first thing I'll do is I will take those chairs and I will start to create sort of a semicircle so that if somebody's not looking extreme right or left, they're literally able to focus in on each other. So I set up rooms like that. I'll take corners and I'll put trees or, you know, if there's some artificial plants or something, I'll try to create a hug in the room so that people feel safer. So that's how it's influenced me, understanding people, understand the energy of the space, and then also bringing that into a very intimate space where we're trying to uncover and elicit deep conversation.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. And thank you also for explaining a little bit where astrology comes from and what we might get wrong because we are maybe, as you say, too used to the headlines and horoscopes in the
field. Yeah.
And it's funny, we with two colleagues were training or hosting a course in leadership through facilitation, and the people's module, Kate and Florentine, they used as an introduction astrology or the horoscope. So what zodiac sign are you? What does it say about you? And what does it say about us that we are so attached to certain personality types and that we have this pull towards classifying people?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think we all like to have an understanding of the people and places around us, just naturally. I want to know why you're doing this. What is this for? So by having these sort of little, I guess I want to call them archetypes, not really boxes, but sort of archetypes that people fall in, we now know how to approach. Like if I know that, for example, as an astrologer, if I know that you are a fire sign, that would be a Leo, a Sagittarius, perhaps an Aries. I would know there's a part of you that's almost impatient, competitive, willing to stand up, answer the question. If you're more of a water sign, I am what you would call triple water, which means like think of gravitationally how water comes down. Water is very inward focused, very, very contemplative, but also very introverted. So water signs have a harder time. They just need more time to warm up to the situation in order to start flowing. So understanding Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces, these are all water signs. They tend to observe before they move in. So it's interesting to take my background into what I do, even though most times when I'm facilitating a corporate function, nobody knows that I'm an astrologer or that I used to do feng shui. It's just like almost something within me that has helped me.
Yeah. And I guess that's just an assumption that this has also informed you as you designed your own personality cluster.
Yes. So it's so interesting how life works, right? I think we all have dreams, hopes, wishes of the future, and we set on that path, and we're creative by nature as beings. And I think my curiosity and my creativity led me to this. So in feng shui, it's based on the yin and yang principles, which is sort of the feminine masculine principles. And from that evolves into the five elements. So the five elements are water, wood, fire, earth, and metal. So in the ancient discipline, they use these five elements and they believe that everything in the world can be or is related to these five elements from seasons. So summer would be fire, as an example. Food, spicy food would be fire. I'm using an example. Heart is ruled by fire. So organs, all of that. It's one big complex system. Anyway, as part of that, there's personality. So the water personality, the wood personality, that is something intrinsic to traditional Chinese medicine. And it's used in feng shui. So the idea is in an environment, you want that environment to feel natural, like nature. So we take those elements that we naturally find in the environment and we try to bring it into our homes and offices so that we feel at ease. So we're trying to mimic the philosophy of nature in the environment. So with these five elements...
Sorry to interrupt. This is unconscious, I imagine.
Yes.
And we're trying to bring these elements and to surround us with them so that energy flows.
Yeah, good point. Because think about a healthy nature scene. Water is flowing. The sun is shining. The trees, which is the wood, are flourishing. All of the earth is rich and able to nurture and grow food within it. So when nature is happy, and we're out in a beautiful nature scene, we feel peaceful as human beings. We're organic. We're not computers and straight lines. There's nothing in nature that is a straight line. A straight line is man-made. And so we are living, organic, moving beings. There's no structure to us. So when we can put ourselves in a natural environment, we naturally are able to flow with that environment a lot more. So the ancients actually came up with these five elements being very relatable to help humans thrive. Mm. It's very interesting. And so from the personality aspect, one day I had the idea to write a book on superpowers. And someone said to me, "Oh, Alice, you're always so positive. Please write a book on how to be more positive." So I thought, okay, well, let me write a book on positivity as a superpower. So I thought, you know, this is back in 2018, 2019, actually, all of the superhero movies were out, Aquaman, Wonder Woman. So I asked this friend of mine to draw me a superhero for my book. I'm going to do a book on positivity. And he says, "Isn't there more than one superpower?" And I said, "Well, of course, but I'm going to do it on positivity." And through the conversation, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I can take the elements and personify them and then elevate all of them into superhero status and create a personality assessment so that you could take this assessment and determine what your archetype is. So that's where it all started. And it was just for friends and family to get to know each other. But what happened was people started bringing it to their companies, to their teams, asking me to do a little team building with it. And one thing led to another. Large organizations found it. So I have now completely rebuilt that into a team building tool. But I don't call it team building. I call it communication bridging.
Communication?
Bridging. Yes.
Bridging. Oh, to build the bridges between individuals, yeah. Between silos. Mm-hmm. That is beautiful. And I love how it came together by being in conversation with someone who was supposed to visually represent what you had in mind. And I think that's such a good process. It is almost facilitation because you have to be precise. You need an interpreter. And
it was amazing. And I remember that day like it was yesterday because it was such an aha moment for me. I was just set on just get me a superhero. I'm going to write this book. But he goes, wait. Isn't there more? And as he started talking to me, he says, aren't there other pillars of superpowers, that positivity? What else? And then if he hadn't have asked the right questions, we wouldn't have that system today. So yes, the brilliance of taking a moment to ask the right questions.
Yeah. What a facilitator.
I know. And he didn't even know it.
And before I ask more about the test and how you apply it and how to use it then in group dynamics, I'd be curious whether it still applies to the zodiac signs. And that's just
very similar. You know, great question. Yes, it does. It's if you think five elements versus 12 zodiac signs. So there's going to be a little bit of mixing and matching, but for the most part, if someone takes the five element superpower assessment, and let's say their top element is fire and wood, then in their zodiac, I will see things like Gemini, which is an air sign. I will see things like Leo, which is a fire sign. So I will definitely see correlations in between the two systems because by nature, we just are who we are, right? When we are young, our family, our parents, our teachers tend to say, why don't you be more like cousin Rebecca? She's more talkative. You're too quiet. Or why do you talk so much? Why don't you be more like brother Joe? He's much more mature. So we start thinking that we're not right. Like who we are is not who we should be. And I think that's the discovery of our own personal facilitation of ourselves through life is who am I truly? And where are my powers? Not where I'm lacking, but where am I good? So that's kind of where I start thinking.
Yeah, beautiful. And I think for the work of a facilitator, this inner work is so important.
Yes, yes.
To know where we are standing and to deal with our triggers and the voice in our mind.
So true.
You're not good enough voice. So could you walk us through the five elements? And so what are the different personality types? And I would be curious because many work with the DISC model, for instance, or Myers-Briggs. So there are so many different personality tests. And I would be curious, so what is the difference in yours?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. I'll tell you the number one difference is that with Myers-Briggs or DISC, if the next day after having a session, you and I met in the hallway and I said, Miriam, what are you? And you say, I'm an INFJ. I have no idea what that means. Or if I tell you I'm an ENFT or whatever the symbol is, I can't take it further. I have to learn the whole system before I understand. Same with DISC. It's all so valuable in the moment and the day that you're learning. But how do you take that and actually not have to put a lot of time and energy into using it with the people that you work with to truly break down silos? So the difference with mine is it's memorable and it's fun. When it's fun, you can't help but remember it and you don't have to learn anything new. Like today, after I go through it, you get it. If you know the element, you know the person. So there's no additional learning. We don't need cognitive fuel to remember all the different archetypes. It becomes natural. So in just a very short time, you get the language. I'm only teaching you five archetypes, and you will see it in the people you facilitate with. You can tell within the first, I don't even need people to take the assessment. You can tell by how they show up. It's natural. It's just so interesting. So if you love...
No, I want to know. You already see from my body language that I'm leaning in. I'll tell me no more.
Okay, so I'm going to go through the five, and then you tell me which you feel more affinity towards after we're done. So let's start with water. Think about... Maybe I'll ask you, tell me some qualities of water. I'm looking for things like it's transparent. What are some qualities? It's fluid, goes with the flow.
It's flexible.
You put it in a round container, it becomes round.
Yeah.
Square.
And hence it takes the space it needs.
Yes, it takes the space. It just expands to the perimeters of a border.
Yeah.
Think about how if I take a glass and put it in the refrigerator, it becomes cool.
It adjusts to its environment.
It adapts. It senses what's going on, and it acclimates to that environment.
And if it's too hot, it just evaporates.
It's steam. Too cold, it becomes hard. So it has many states. It goes from very hard and cold all the way up to hot steam, all the way to it's nourishing. We drink it to replenish our body. So just by understanding qualities of water, that's a person. A water person, they're very sensitive to comments, right? Think of how the water goes from room temperature to chilly to room temperature. Water people need boundaries. They need to know, how are they supported? Water, without a jar, it goes everywhere and it disperses. Water goes with the flow. If I put it in a tube, it'll go down the tube. It can be fast or it can be slow and still. It can be one mood one day, a different mood the next day. So water people are sensitive. They go with the flow. They do not like friction. You can see right through them. They're transparent. Their emotions, they wear their emotions on their sleeve. Their superpower is intuition, because they're able to sense where other people are coming from. Because they are so sensitive, they take a while to warm up. So water people love to connect. Think about how water connects the continents and the islands. Mm-hmm. Water people are the connectors of the elements. And so a water person, if you're alone in the room, I will go and say, hey, Dr. Miriam, how are you? Come, let me introduce you to someone. So water people are connected when they are comfortable, when they know the structure.
Mm.
Then we go to wood. And very interesting, wood, very different. Think of a tree. So give me some...
It's solid.
Solid.
It grows deep and needs the roots to be stable.
Mm-hmm.
It needs water to grow. It grows in a very structured way. So it cannot just go everywhere. But still it grows in three directions. So width and then depth and height.
Okay.
It needs all of it.
Perfect. And so then you know what a wood person is like. So think about a tree. Water goes everywhere, but tree is planted. So it has to dig its roots deep into the earth to absorb all the nutrients. And its one purpose in life is to grow towards the sun. And it does, it grows up and out. But if there's a block, like a building gets built next to a tree, it's creative. It goes out and up and around. So obstacles, no big deal for tree, right? Yeah. No big deal for water. Water flows past obstacles. Trees are creative. They creatively move around things. But the most important thing about wood is it grows deep. It knows that it needs to be resourceful, and it also needs to keep moving towards the sun. So wood, when we are sleeping, is still working, right? It's photosynthesis, cellular regeneration, it's moving. So wood people, they move, they're always on the move. They have a goal and they will reach their goal and they will utilize all their resources. They want to be efficient. They don't waste time. Trees do not waste time. Trees know. They just plant where they're at, and any obstacle, they don't cry. They creatively work around it. So wood people, goal-oriented, very efficient, extroverted. Think how trees grow up and out. Water is down, more introverted. Trees go up and out. So that's a tree person. So you know that if you have a lot of wood, they are moving, they are talking, they are active, they have a goal, they're creative, they are resourceful. That is a tree.
They're also stable.
And very stable if they are well grounded.
Mm-hmm. See, oh, yeah.
A tree is it like every element has an upside and a downside. So awesome, creative, grounded, you know, very resourceful. But if the tree is not getting the nutrients it wants, if the wood person is not nurturing itself, it is going to be a brittle tree. It could snap. It gets angry. It could fall off from its roots. So there's healthy water, right? There's stagnant water. There's a healthy tree. There's a stagnant tree. So yes. So it's just so fascinating. So that's a tree.
And I love that, that the water needs boundaries and the tree needs roots.
Yeah, the so, tree. And the tree will forcefully find
ability.
Its root. Yeah, the tree will say, let me thrive. And then, so for example, you're, let's pretend I'm a water, you're a tree. And you say, well, let's go ask that guy over there to help us. And then I'm like, oh no, but we're not supposed to talk to that guy. And you're like, well, let's go ask him because we need to get to that goal. But I'm like, no, no, no. What? Like, I don't know. Is that okay? Like, I'm a little bit more shy about it. But if you initiate it, I will add the nutrition. I will add the water to make that a possibility.
Interesting. Yes, I can already see people and myself. Yeah.
Very easy. So now we go to fire. Qualities of fire. Fire is?
It's hot.
Hot.
It takes whatever is around to grow and to continue the flame. So,
yes.
It spreads very quickly.
Quickly.
So it's powerful.
Powerful. Yep. It brings light. It can warm or it can burn. It can light or it can blind you. It consumes very quickly. And out of all of the elements, if we see or hear the word fire, we look. So it draws attention. Mm. Wood, we just say beautiful trees, water, we think about it. Nobody thinks about the earth, you know, but fire, it's showy. So fire people, when they show up, they're in bright colors. They're the life of the party. They're optimistic. They're the cheerleaders. They're the ones that say, no big deal. Let's just keep moving forward. So fire tends to be bright, positive, extroverted. And I also like to say fire people like to have, like, think about the mane of a lion. Fire people are, they're just very beautiful and luxurious, and they show up and they bring light to the party. And they make great leaders because they're very encouraging, warm, optimistic, looks for the bright side. And as you mentioned, water fuels wood to grow. Wood fuels fire, right? So fire burns bright. So the fire person is the one in the class that sits in the front, that wears bright clothes, that answers the questions. That's fire.
Yeah.
Then we go to earth, and you think, okay, earth, the ground that we walk on. So give me qualities of earth.
It's stable. It's robust, grounded. It's nurturing.
Yep. That's it. That's an earth person. Grounded, nurturing, solid, stable. Earth moves very slowly. Think about how earth is down. Water gravitationally is down. Earth is more introverted. They love to share their resources, share food with you. They move a little bit more slowly. Wood is go, go, go. Fire is up and out. Earth is stable. So earth people, they're stable. They're your loyal friends. They're patient. They take their time. If you need someone to talk to, your earth friend will be right there. Your wood friend is busy. Your fire friend is at a party. Your water friend will be there to nurture you. So wood, earth is a little bit quieter. They're the silent supporters. They're the ones that say, do you need an extra hand? Can I help you? Think about it. We walk on the earth. So earth people naturally are a service oriented person.
Yeah.
So fun, right? And then metal, completely different. So qualities of metal.
Metal is cold, but very solid.
Cool, solid. Yeah.
It's not flexible unless you heat it. And yes. Then it depends.
Yes.
But it's precious because it's unbreakable.
Yes. And it's so interesting. So we start with metal contracts in the earth, right? So metal contracts. So they're very introverted. So they appear to be very cool, cool-headed, cool-hearted. They're the ones that think that personality tests are stupid. Like, why are we wasting time with this? The metal people are the linear. Let's make sure that everything is done right, very organized, very solid. They do not commit right away. They take time to warm up. Because think about metal. In order to bend metal, we have to warm it a lot to bend it. So metal takes a long time to commit. But when they commit, they commit. Once the metal is bent, it is in that shape. Whereas wood person, sure, count me in. Fire person, sounds like fun. But metal, they're not going to give you an answer till they're sure. So they take their time. They want things to be just right. They appear to be cool, but they're very sensitive because they are reactive. So whereas a water person is transparent, she is upset. She will get moody. You might see it on her face. Metal people will be upset, but almost like you won't see it. But they are reacting inside. But they're very meticulous, very careful, very polished. If you take a long time, you can make the metal shiny and round. It can go fast. Or if you don't take the time to polish metal, it becomes rusty and clunky. So metal is very refined in all they do, and they take their time. So those are the five archetypes that we see. Oh, one more thing. Creative. So water fuels wood. Wood fuels fire. When fire burns out, it becomes earth. From the earth, we get metal. And metal can liquefy into water. So that's the creative cycle. And if everyone is in a good space, we are awesome. We recognize each other's strengths and weaknesses. We're in the flow. But water puts out fire. Fire can melt metal. Metal can chop wood, break it up. Wood digs its roots into the earth and takes all the nutrients. And earth can stop the flow of water because of putting sand in water. So every element has its checks and balance. And so when an environment goes sort of in a stress mode, let's say we're all together in a company, we're working, we're very stressed, then the wood person is fast. Let's go, go, go. Metal person, very slow. So it's metal chops wood. So wood says, let's hurry, get to the goal. Metal says, let's take our time, get the details right. And then they judge each other. So they don't understand. Why are you in such a rush? You don't want to make mistakes. Wood says, well, figure it out along the way, creative. But metal is like, no, no, no. We need it right. We need approval. We need to check and balance. So you can see how when you're in a good space, everything flows, but we have natural checks and balances.
Beautiful. Thank you for walking us through. Where's the wind?
Oh, so wind is a different discipline. So if we look in like shamanic Native American Indian, they use the wind a lot. So wind is considered in this discipline as the invisible force because it is not seen. Wind, you only see the effect of wind. You cannot see wind itself. So wind is not part of the actual elements.
Okay. Thank you for that. And I love that. And now I can perfectly see what you meant, that it provides an easy language to teams and individuals. And then they can almost tell a story. What that tell a story.
So all of a sudden, I'm like, no wonder you are metal. No wonder you're so picky. No wonder you don't like me. I'm fire. I melt you. You know, so there's a language that we learn immediately after the training. And people will say, well, let's bring more earth to this meeting, meaning let's take our time. Let's ground ourselves. Let's not be so firewood. So we can actually use the language. And that's where the value has come with the various organizations. The language lasts far past the facilitation.
I love your cup.
So this is the water superhero, and this is the wood. We created the elements naturally have colors associated with them and shapes. And so I made our superheroes with the colors and the shapes of the ancient tradition. So everything is based on ancient, but modernized to a fun type of facilitation.
Thank you. I like that. And I wonder, because now I can see the multiple areas to apply that.
Yeah.
You can apply it to foster conversation for the team, to understand each other better, to communicate better, maybe to be a little bit more compassionate.
Yeah, that's really what it is.
Mm-hmm. Because I can also see how it can help facilitators then get a sense of the room and who are the participants in the space. And I wonder whether you can use this to better deal with, air quotes, difficult participants.
Yeah.
So for instance, the participants who knows it all or who speaks a lot.
Yeah.
Is very communicative and wants to contribute and is so excited that they don't realize that they are taking so much space.
Yeah.
Are these then also, do you find this kind of behavior specifically in a certain element? And if so, what can you do with this knowledge?
Yeah. So because I have the language of the elements to base everything on, I can actually say wood and fire, be quiet. The water people need to speak. Water, do you have anything to say? So I can acknowledge the elements. And when I joke and I say, metal, I know you have a lot of thoughts going on and you just need time to share. So I'm going to give you a minute to think about what you're going to say. And, you know, so I can use the elements and their personalities, because wood and fire, they talk, they take up space in the room. Water, earth, and metal tend to be a little bit more withdrawn because they are more introverted. So oftentimes I will do breakout sessions so they can talk to each other because they work better in smaller groups. Water needs to feel secure, so they need smaller groups. They feel insecure speaking up in a big group unless they are certain they are secure. Water's biggest downfall is their insecurity. Wood's biggest downfall is they get very indecisive. They're moving too quickly. They can't figure out where to go. So you see, so fire, their downfall is negativity. So their virtue is confidence. Think about the sun. The sun just emanates and the planets orbit around it. That's fire. The sun doesn't go look for planets to orbit around. So the sun, the fire people like attention. So if you don't give them attention, they go, that's not a good thing anyway. They turn negative on you. So when you understand the elements, you understand the people, and you understand how to kind of make sure every element gets an equal say, but you create the environment that makes that element feel safe.
And then if I understand correctly, you can basically use the language to still communicate that someone is taking too much space in this context, but without being offensive.
Yeah. These people, the firewood people, they don't get offended at all. They're not sensitive because they're up, out, and going. They have their own agenda. They move the way they want. So if you tell them, hey, be quiet, they'll just be quiet. Like, they won't feel offended. But if a water person expresses themselves and you say, be quiet, they're going to not talk the whole rest of the time. Same with metal. They're very sensitive. So understanding that is such a key.
So does it then mean that if a facilitator is a water or a metal person, we just overestimate the reaction when we shut someone down?
Yeah. And I think there's ways, right? It's so in the training, I talk about how to talk to the elements so that they feel like you get them. Like, there's these phrases we use. We say, oh, I feel out of my element, right? We say that. It's like, that is so important to like understand every element has its own thing. And I've done this long enough, I can pretty much tell who is what if I've worked with you a little bit. It's so, yes, it does depend, but certain elements, they don't get upset when you shut them down. Mm-hmm. It's like you're giving them attention, so they're okay.
Beautiful. And can it change? Because I wonder if I know that I'm water and I do need these boundaries. And is it always like that? So I'm born as water and I will remain water, but then maybe I can just be a better version of myself because I know how to treat myself. Right?
That's a good
in the context that helps me.
I think that we as human beings are dynamic by nature. We learn, we grow, we evolve, we change. Depending on the environment we are put in, we might have to sharpen some skills that we don't have. So let's say I am a very shy water metal. Let's just say, okay, more introverted. But all of a sudden, I'm at work and some personnels have shifted. And now I have to be the one to do the presentations to the clients. And I'm introverted. I'm shy. I don't want to, but I can't lose my job. So then I have to bring up the fire element in me. So let's say over time, I become used to it. If I tested you, the fire would come up. So we're always changing levels of elements within us. All of us have the five elements in us at varying degrees and varying levels. We naturally have two predominantly strong ones that we operate with, but it doesn't mean we don't have the other ones. So we've tested people after the pandemic. The primary tends to stay the same. So what happens is you take the assessment and you are one of 20 archetypes based on the top two elements. Mm-hmm. So whatever your top two are, the primary tends to stay the strongest. But after the pandemic, we retested people and I was shocked because I created the system. I didn't have enough time to understand it. All of a sudden, oh my gosh, I did this one company and oh my goodness, like 60, 70% had changed archetypes. So I was like, oh my God, what happened? So we started to analyze it. People that had to deal with childcare and figuring out how to do this, running back and forth, their wood element went up. Mm-hmm. The people that actually lost their jobs or their jobs became more sedentary, earth went up. Earth is sedentary. Yeah. The people that were had to implement the rules, 6 feet rules, put up the barriers, all the meticulous, their metal went up. So we started recognizing that we are human beings that are ever changing based on who we're with, what our environment is. And so to your question, you definitely have some primary elements, but we improve and change as we go. And you're different on vacation than you are at a stressful job. And mm-hmm. So the different elements start to come into play. So yeah, it does change.
Fascinating. So as a facilitator, then how can someone work with that? So would you arrange your training in a specific way so that it speaks to all the different elements? And would you assemble the room in a certain way so that also the from a feng shui kind of perspective it works?
Yeah, I think that the way that I do this is from a feng shui perspective or from any kind of perspective, I just allow the room to feel however it feels. I think it's just me holding that awareness of knowing that there's different archetypes in the room. And as the moments go on, I start to be able to identify the waters and the woods and the fires. And that just, it helps me. But I don't really do anything different other than if someone is a little bit more on the quiet side, then I try to discern which one they are. And I might give them a little more time to respond. Or if I'm asking them a question and someone talks, I might have them hold just a moment while they gather their thoughts, because some people need time in order to bring forth their ideas, mm-hmm. or some people need security. So I ascertain that, and I think very intuitively. However, if they are there for a superpowers facilitation, I have all their scores in front of me.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. And I just realized how interesting it is just to keep in mind. So that's how I make sense out of it right now, is knowing that, okay, the waters need a little bit of more boundaries. The other one need more grounding.
Yes.
The others need maybe a little bit more space.
Yes, yes.
So how can I, to really be at their best? So how can I then take care of that so that everyone's minimum standards of performing well are met?
Yeah, and I think, you know, and I think it's the ability as a facilitator to read the room and to understand the dynamics. And it takes a little bit of time. So if I have time with a group, I usually like to start with an exercise where I just break people into pairs. They may or may not know each other. It doesn't matter. And I ask them to interview each other and come back with two things. The first thing is find out a story from that person that they think no one knows. And the second thing is to kind of talk to me about what they would like to get out of today. And when the two people come back, instead of me saying it to the group, because sometimes shy people don't like to talk about themselves, if you and I were paired together, when we come back to the group, I would say, or you would say, I talked to Alice, and what you may not know about Alice is that when she was 8 years old, she cut her hair off and her parents were upset. And what she wants to get out of it is blank. And when I hear that, I really will get a hint of, you know, who they are. So that's kind of one way. And then it gives the shy people the water, the metals, the earth a chance to express themselves in a comfortable situation because it's one-on-one. And I find that that kind of
helps. Themselves. And then in the larger group, it's not about themselves. So it's easy to talk about someone else.
Yeah.
Very nice. And you as a trainer facilitator, you then learn about both. So the way how they voice is and how comfortable they are to talk about someone else tells you something, as well as the content of the story.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just small ways. And I think that over time, we intuitively kind of understand the flow that we need to go with. The pace is always different. The dynamics are different, right? Who you have to elicit information from, who you need to just kind of calm down a bit. And whether it's the elements or just any other training, I think that it's that kind of interaction in the beginning always helps me because I am a strong water, which means that I need to know what my boundaries are. So it's really for me to understand the room so I feel confident and secure, not just going in not knowing anything. So it's more for me than it is for anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. What remains your number one facilitation challenge?
Not talking. I tell you, I don't know why, but I think that I tend to know everything, which I don't. But when I get uncomfortable with silence, I talk. And that is the hardest thing for me to do. I fill up the space when I really need to just give it space. And I'm constantly fighting that.
Which is very watery.
Yeah, because once
it's just when you're insecure because you don't understand the boundary.
I'm not secure. I need security. So it's funny. That is my number one thing, is to get out of my own way and allow the group dynamic to be the value, not me. Like I sometimes have to remind myself, I am just there to allow people to find out more of what they know. I'm not here to tell people what they should know. And it's a constant battle for me.
Interesting. I love it. So I would consider, from your explanation, I would also consider myself as a water person. And one of my challenges is that, I'm all over the place. So I want to do it all. Too many ideas. Yeah. I don't have boundaries. It just like overflows.
Yeah. It's very interesting, isn't it?
And I'm spreading myself too thin.
It's exactly. And so holding boundaries, otherwise we want to nurture others. So an unhealthy, if you're not aware of your water nature, if someone needs your help, you're there, you're feeding it, you're giving, and then you're drained. And when you're drained, you become more emotional because you don't have what you need for yourself. And so there's always the upsides and the downsides. There's no better element. Every element has its own challenges.
Yeah. And then this would be, I think, an entire different conversation about which elements work best together.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's really all you have to do is remember what I said. There's a circle, right? There's a circle. So water feeds wood, wood feeds fire, fire feeds earth, earth to metal. So those actually are considered more compatible. It's the water, fire. Water puts out fire. Water, fire are not as compatible. Wood, fast, fast, fast. Earth, slow, slow, slow. Wood breaks up earth. So wood and earth. So there's actual opposition. So in a team, what we do with the assessment is we can actually create a chart that shows who supports who challenges who. And when you're aware of that, you're like, I get it. I don't like you, but I understand you. That's the difference.
And then suddenly, and I think that's the magic of these concepts, that suddenly it's not about you. It's not about who you are. It's just the way how you sometimes show up. And then we have a story around it and a system to take care of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we all have an ego and we all want to be right. And this just helps us to set aside the I am right, you are wrong to, wow, you're just really different from me. I don't get you. I wouldn't act like you, but I get that's you. So how can I work with you so we can collectively get to whatever goal we need to get to in this work we're doing together? So that is to me the advantage, understanding the person and accepting them as they are.
Yeah, which then makes a thriving team.
Yes.
And in your experience, what makes a workshop fail?
I think when you go in with an agenda without allowing flexibility or not allowing changes, like you say, this is what I'm going to do and this is what I'm going to accomplish and these are the modules I'm going to cover. I think that structure doesn't allow it to optimize. I think coming in with a general agenda, like we'll probably do these, but not stick to it and let the group tell you what they need to flow with. So it's not always what I want. I think that's what makes it fail. If I come in saying, this is what I want, this is what I'm going to accomplish and cover, sometimes I'm just bulldozing over something that could be very valuable.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. And now I'm wondering, because the flow, the taking with the flow, letting things emerge is, again, very watery. And I wonder whether a more wood facilitator would then prefer more structure. Okay, this is how we do it. This the agenda, having prepared the exact way of doing it and maybe being...
So think about that. Think of a person who is high wood and metal. Wood is go, go, go. We got to reach the goal. Metal, let's do it perfectly. So a wood metal comes in and they have an agenda. They want to cover so many modules and they need to follow the schedule. They might need to pull in their silent water, go with the flow self. They need to pull in a different element to allow things to go. So it's that awareness. And again, that's why every facilitator has their own strength. They're known for certain things. Like I, being a strong water, I am known to help people connect. That's all I want to do. Island to island, nation to nation, water. How can I use my system to help all of you connect better? Because we're one big world. We're one big country. We're one big company with all the different islands. So water tends to connect. And I love to connect people and connect with people.
Beautiful. To come back to the cycle, and especially to the opposites, to the threats. If Earth know that wood is coming to extract the nutrients, and the fire is coming to attack the wood, and the water is coming to extinguish the fire, what are the examples, and how can I maybe see it coming, and then say, okay, how can I protect myself from that, from these trigger moments, because that's what it is.
Yeah. So if it's a personal person, so if I see it unfolding in a workshop where there's disagreements and someone's trying to talk over somebody, sometimes I just let it go because the elements balance out at the end. They come to some level of learning is garnered from that. Now, if I am personally in...
Just one sec.
Yeah.
But, before we come to the personal... Yeah. Because this assumes that you have an equal distribution of the elements. Because if we're coming to a team where there's only wood and fire, then we have a problem.
Different. Oh, yeah. So we do this team assessment. And a whole team, just like a person has two highest archetypes, teams have two highest. And so we do an archetype of the team. So if you are a team that has a lot of wood fire, then you have to consciously bring in structure and organization, metal, empathy, water, nourishing each other, earth. You have to bring that in from the outside or consciously to have a team that has all the elements necessary for growth. Yeah. So great question, because yeah, we don't always have equal. It's rare that it's equal. When there's a lot of water, there's a lot of drama and emotion when people aren't getting what they need, because it's all water, crying, emotions. If it's too much fire, sometimes they don't get anything done. They're just having fun, having parties, you know? So we can definitely see the personality of a team, whether it's I did an organization of 300 people, a huge organization of just leaders, 300 leaders, and they were lacking in earth, like major. It's a fast food company. Earth is slow. No earth was there. So they know that they bring earth to the meeting. You know, let's just sit for a moment. You know, metal is details. Let's sit. Did we miss any details? Because firewood, it's just go, 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 fast, fast.
Thank you. I'm glad I asked that question. So, and when you apply to yourself?
So when I apply to myself, it's a little hard. I have to learn to be multi-elemental, meaning we all have these elements within me. So when I facilitate, my secondary is a fire. So I'm able, once I feel secure, I'm able to shine, be positive, bring hope. But I have to remember the earth, the metal people, I need to slow down for them. So I use it in that way. And I always expect that the metal person will ask me, what is the point of all this? This is stupid. Like, why are we sitting here with superheroes? This is a professional meeting, right? I already anticipate metal will be judgmental. That's just how they are. So I have all my answers prepared.
Okay. So that you won't get triggered.
Yeah.
Because you're aware of your potential trigger points by the
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand. I get it. Not everybody is happy to do it. I get it. Like, everyone comes with a different agenda, a different level of evolution in their personality. So I think the system has helped me understand people a lot more. So I don't take it personally. And I think that is the gift of this whole thing, is that when someone is blunt with me, it's not me, that's how they operate. And I can let that go so much easier.
Yes.
Yeah. In a perfect world, all elements operate in harmony. But in a perfect world, the elements also keep each other in check. So it's impossible to just inhale, inhale, inhale without exhaling, right? We live in a world, there's up, down, left, right, hot, cold, sweet, sour, day and night. Just like that, there has to be both collaboration and conflict in order for these new answers and these new solutions to come out. So I kind of welcome it now. Whereas before I shied away from conflict, now I actually welcome it because we learn from it.
Yes. That's so rich. And through conflict, we learn about ourselves. We redefine the boundaries. As you say, yeah, the moment we don't take conflict personal.
Yeah, makes a difference. It really does. Wood people, when they are stressed, they tend to yell and be very blunt and get very, very strong with their words. I'm very sensitive. So if a wood person chops me off, or, you know, that sort of quick, like, why did you do it this way? You know, I thought we talked about it that way. As a water, I can get a little shaken, like, oh my God, I feel so bad. I didn't mean to cause trouble. But if I recognize, like, oh, he's stressed, that's why he's yelling, because he's wood or she's wood, I don't tend to feel as hurt by it. I get that that's just them being stressed. And there's a lot of forgiveness around it. A lot of like, ah, oh, I get it. You're just stressed.
Yeah. And then the stress becomes an expression of the lack of something. So if a wood screams or yells, it's because something is in their way of go, 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 because
yeah.
they can't achieve, or they're not getting the nutrients they need, or they're maybe not grounded enough.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of shakiness.
Mm-hmm. So that's why we say to a, exactly. So that's why we say to a wood, what can I do? How can I support you? What do you need? Because wood needs resources to grow. So they're stressed because they can't get to that goal, which is a wood's natural need to finalize and get there. So they need nutrients. They need resources. So your best thing, when you see a wood stressed, you say, what do you need? How can I help you? What resources do you need? Then they feel like you're supporting them.
Where can I see your book or your assessment?
It's funny how it, I mean, literally, it just started as this fun thing. It was a great idea. And now it's become a thing. I mean, I'm getting a white paper written on it. We're doing research. We're just trying to take it to that next level. But you can find it at masteryoursuperpowers.com. Very simple. Masteryoursuperpowers.com.
Beautiful. We'll definitely put it in the show notes.
Thank you.
And what comes next for you? If you want to give
for
us
me. Well, I think what happened was this whole discovery of my system by McDonald's and Gap and these larger companies has really forced me to up-level the coding and the development. And now we now just recently created inclusivity. Now, inclusive is important. People were saying, how come you genderize the elements, male and female? What about me? I don't feel included. I don't identify with either gender. So I was trying to honor the ancient, what they call, I guess, it's not gender. It's just the properties, which is more yin or more yang. So now we have an assessment where you, are you male? Are you female? Or are you non-binary? So that way you can maybe relate to one, the other, or both. So that's kind of, so right now that's my goal, is to up-level the assessment and get everything automated.
It's interesting how words, yeah, and these boxes create all these challenges.
Yes.
And
yeah.
And it's, I wouldn't have expected it coming from that direction, because I would think, yes, there's yin and yang, and whether you call it male energy and female energy, we all have yin and yang inside
yes,
of us.
Yeah. Yes.
And it doesn't necessarily has to do what sex we are or what gender we identify with.
Yeah, but it's become a thing. I think that until I implemented this into our system, every time, I mean, without a exaggeration, almost every time at the end, either publicly or privately, someone will come to me and say, why male, female? I don't feel included here. And so that's what cued me that I need to make a change. And then it's just where we are today. Even though I explain yin and yang, my characters definitely look male or female, because yes. I based it on the nature versus the gender. But how do you draw something that's personified into a male female as a non-binary, or it's very difficult. So we struggled with that. We tried to draw characters that had both masculine and feminine qualities in them, but we couldn't quite get it for everyone to agree on it, because it's so personal. So I just left it that if you test and you choose non-binary, both genders show up and you can feel where you are within that range.
Mm.
What is that? So that's what I've been working on. That it sounds easy to do an inclusive assessment, but it really took a lot of thinking.
I can imagine. Yeah. And it's interesting. Yeah. All it brings up, and you learn so much about, yeah, then the people and how times change.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Thank you so much for taking the time, Alice.
It is my pleasure. Thank you for listening to my entire explanation of all the elements. It's so near and dear to me, and I love it so much. So I just really appreciated that you took the time to listen to all of the talking about it.
Yeah, and I will continue to think about it, because I find it intriguing, really. And I think even for those who don't believe in it. So maybe for some, say, oh, that's too woo-woo, the metal people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I generally believe that even on a meta level, if you take away all the elements and all the categorization, I think what you shared about human dynamics and how human beings relate to each other and deal with each other and how we can find a way to find comfort in the conflicts and in the dynamics and in the yin and yang and in between. I find this very inspiring.
Thank you. I really was inspired to talk to you. I was really looking forward to having our conversation. We started talking months ago, and here we are today sharing our insights.
Yes, on the opposite sides of the world.
Yes, yes. Day for
Hawaii
me.
And the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I wish you a wonderful day. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for staying tuned and for listening until the very end. I hope that you found the inspiration and the wisdom that you are looking for. And I hope that you will subscribe to the show so that you never miss any of the interviews with another inspiring facilitator from across the world. I'm devoted to continue this podcast and to deliver weekly an episode that maintains the quality that you expect and you deserve. And if you would like to help me to maintain this quality and to keep the podcast free, please help us. Visit workshops.org/support to make a small donation to keep the podcast free. Thank you so much. I hope to be in your ears next week.